This episode may contain content that is not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised, especially for those under the age of 13. Welcome to Into the Night. I'm Nari, your guide on today's excursion down a twisted path. Be careful not to get lost. Be it dark or light, it's easy to lose your way. Are you ready? Then let's begin. Spring Peepers, Part 2. I hadn't thought about this for years, but I know that feeling. There were times as kids when my cousins and I had that same sensation. On some nights, Grandma would just tell us not to go outside. When we'd ask why, Grandpa would just say, "Just don't." We never went against their word, but sometimes even the darkness outside our windows gave us the creeps. Both women sat quietly for a moment, and the waitress came by to take their orders. Cassandra finally spoke. "I hadn't even thought about that in all the excitement to buy our family farm back. As you know, your father and I went to school together. He and my twin brother Cal were best friends from the time we started elementary. I knew Paul very well." The waitress brought their orders and filled their drinks. After she walked away, Kay continued. "My point is that your father was like part of my family, and strange things happened when he grew up on that place, too."
"Really?"
Cassandra stopped her fork in midair and placed it back on her plate without taking a bite.
"Yes, that same feeling that something watched them. Cal experienced it, too."
Kay looked down.
"I hope you aren't angry with me."
"Why would I be mad at you?"
"Because I didn't tell you all this before you bought the place."
"Kay, it's not your fault. I contacted you, remember? I was so excited, and it was so long since I'd thought about that feeling, but it's not as though I didn't know about this on the farm."
"Thank you for understanding.
Besides, it's probably just our imaginations getting the best of us."
"That's what I thought, too. Until Tony played me the recording."
"What recording?"
"Well, Tony's brother lives out of state, and he wanted to hear what the spring peeper sounded like that Tony told him about. He asked Tony to record for him. Tony did, but the peepers weren't the only thing on that tape."
"Go on."
"When he sent the recording to his brother in Milwaukee, the guy wrote back to Tony asking, 'What the hell is that?' So Tony listened."
Kay paused.
"There were these low voices, like a voice sounds when the speed is slowed down on a recording.
Could there be a malfunction in the recording?"
"The peepers came through like normal. He played it for me, Cassandra, and it wasn't a glitch. It wasn't natural."
Neither said a word. They picked at their food in silence.
"I shouldn't have said anything. I've ruined our evening out. I'm sorry, Cass."
"You haven't ruined anything. Dad should have told me years ago. I guess he didn't want to scare us because he knew how much his parents loved having us out there. After he died, there wasn't anyone else in the family who said anything either."
"I feel like you should know, just so you can be more aware."
"I will be, Kay. Let's finish this meal up, and if you're up to it, let's do some window shopping around the shops."
"That sounds lovely, Cass. Let's do that."
As they walked around the downtown shopping area, they saw a woman walking a little dog. "Oh, I've always wanted a dog. The Homeowners Association didn't allow pets in the condos, though."
"Well, you have your own farm, and you can have whatever you want.
I know some people who raise dogs, so I can put you in touch with them if you'd like. A dog or two would be good company for you." Cassandra's eyes lit up.
"That would be wonderful. I've wanted a dog for so long. Maybe even two."
"Cass, you can have 20 dogs now if you like. No homeowners association around here. You're free to do what you want." Cassandra hugged her. "I'm as excited as a kid on Christmas morning."
"I'll let them know you're interested in one. Or two."
Cassandra laughed. "Yes, in one or two."
The women walked and talked for over an hour. At the end of the evening, Cassandra asked Kay the question that had eaten at her for hours. I need to know, is Tony still in this area? He is. He's living down south of town. Why? Could you put me in touch with him? I'd like to talk to him, and I'd like to hear that recording if he still has it. Kay pulled her phone out of her pocket. Here is his number. He is a nice man, and I'm sure he will talk with you. I'm not sure if he kept the recording or not. Cassandra created a new contact for Tony Atwell on her phone. Thanks, Kay. We'll have to do this again, soon.
We will. And next time, I'll try not to drop big surprises on you.
It's a deal. See you soon. On her drive back home, Cassandra's childhood memories of the feeling that something lurked in the dark flooded back to her.
So, that has to be why there were times Grandma and Grandpa wouldn't let us go outside at night. They had to know something was out there. Has this been a secret no one talked about for years? Just what is going on out there?
In 20 minutes, she arrived home. The porch light glowed, and the house looked so welcoming.
Maybe there's nothing to all of this talk of creatures in the dark.
Still, the night was dark, almost darker than usual, Cassandra thought, and she briskly walked from her car to the illuminated porch. She didn't even pause to listen to the din of spring peepers belting out a chorus of their tiny frog song. She hurried in the door and placed her purse and keys on the small oak table lining the wall to her left.
Maybe a dog, or two, isn't such a bad idea. I'm out here by myself, and protection and company would be nice.
She messaged Kay. Don't forget to talk to the people with the dogs. I'm interested and hope they have some available. Her phone dinged. It was Kay. I already did. They have a few litters ready for you to choose from. When I told them you're Paul Carmichael's daughter, they said you can have the pick of the litter. Susan and Greg went to school with us, and Greg played ball with your dad. Kay sent her the phone number and wished Cassandra a good night. The next morning, she awoke to a beautiful blue sky and the sounds of songbirds outside her window. She drew back the curtain and watched as robins hopped around the yard, searching for meals.
Robins.
Spring has officially arrived. As a girl, she sat at this very window watching the seasonal birds. Her grandmother kept feeders full for them, and Cassandra added bird feeders and seeds to her mental list of things she needed to buy in town. Checking her phone notifications, she saw a new message from Kay. Good morning. If it works for you, Susan and Greg Hartman can meet with you today. They have beautiful dogs, and I know you'll find the right one for you. Looking around the house, she realized just how still and quiet it was. I do need a companion. I'll stop in town on my way to the Hartmans and pick up dog food, toys, beds, and whatever else I'll need for my new friends. And something for my wild bird companions, too. She arranged to meet the Hartmans at 11, and when she arrived, they gave her welcoming hugs.
We haven't seen you since you were a little girl, but your parents were dear friends of ours.
I think I remember you and this place. I remember the big weather vane on top of your barn.
Yes, that's been up there for ages. Come on in and meet our puppies. Are you looking for a big dog or a small dog?
Maybe one of each. Let's see what you have. First, they brought in the small puppies.
These are Shih-Poos. Mama is a Shih Tzu and Daddy is a poodle.
Cassandra sat on the floor and was swarmed by a litter of six of the cutest puppies she'd ever seen.
Oh, gosh, I want all of them.
She laughed as one puppy climbed onto her lap as if to claim Cassandra as her own.
Well, hello, little girl. It looks like I have a puppy.
The puppy, as if it knew it was going home with Cassandra, gave her multiple kisses on the chin.
Okay, that's settled. Greg, bring in the English Shepherd puppies for her.
Turning to Cassandra, Susan said,
We can't say enough good things about our English Shepherds. They are loyal and versatile, and just what you'll need on your place.
I've never heard of them before.
There aren't many around. Here they come, though.
Eight exuberant puppies ran into the room and greeted Cassandra. One sable boy ran to her and sat patiently for his turn to be petted.
Look at you. You have such good manners.
She looked up at the Hartmans. I'll take him. She paid for the puppies, and as she carried her new best friends to the car, Susan and Greg brought out the registration papers and shot records. Soon she was on her way home with Sadie and Ike. That night, she brought her new companions onto the porch. You want to listen to the frogs with me? Wagging Tails answered her. She sat on the swing with Sadie on her lap and Ike by her feet. In the darkness, just outside the glow of the porch light, however, she swore she sensed a presence. What Kay told me is messing with my head. I shouldn't let that keep me from enjoying a beautiful evening like this one. Just as she shook off the idea that something watched her, Ike let out a low growl while he nestled closer to her leg and stared out into the dark. Sadie whimpered in her lap and climbed to hide under Cassandra's chin. Suddenly, she felt like it was more than just an overactive imagination fueling her unease. It's okay, babies. Let's go inside. She stood and opened the back door. Sadie clung to her, and Ike backed his way into the house, keeping himself between Cassandra and whatever lurked in the night. Unsettled, Cassandra brought the dogs into her room. Let's all sleep in here tonight. I'm glad I have you, sweet puppies. The next morning, she contacted Tony Atwell. She called and explained who she was. Would you mind meeting me? And do you have that recording still?
I do. I'll bring it with me. Do you want to meet tonight after work? 6 o'clock at Miller's Diner?
I can do that. I'll see you then.
Thank you for joining me for Into the Night, an anthology series written by Caroline Giamanco, narration by Nari Kwok, theme music by Nico Rodriguez. All original music, sound design, and editing provided by Flyboy Entertainment. You can find our links in the show notes. Please remember to like and subscribe, and if you enjoy what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review to help other excursionists to join us. You can find us on your favorite podcast directory. See you next time. And remember, whether in the shadows or in the daylight, all twisted paths take you into the night. Into the Night is a Creative Typo Entertainment production.